feeling better? Say, you bet, I am feeling better. I'm looking better too. Yeah, amen. There you go. Yeah, I am feeling better. And I want y'all to know that, you know, y'all were asking me last week, you know, how you feeling? And I said, well, I'm feeling about a C- last week. Today I'm probably A-, B+, so I'm getting better. I still got this lingering cough going on, but no flu symptoms other than that. So that's good. So you can hug me now, and I can hug you back. Okay? So glad y'all are here today. Glad you're with us today. I am excited to be here with you. I'm excited about this topic that we're going to be talking about today. It's kind of an interesting topic, and one of the things, I don't talk much about it because everybody pretty well knows, but this goes along with my lesson from last week. And if y'all remember right, my lesson from last week was to address sin. And how we address it is incredibly important. How we address sin is incredibly important. Not that we turn people away, but the way that we address it is to bring people to Christ. You see the difference? I'm not going to turn you away. I'm going to bring you in. I'm going to bring you to Christ. I'm going to bring you to His wisdom. I'm going to bring you to His kingdom. I'm going to bring you to repentance. I'm going to bring you to a place where we all want to be, and that's with God in heaven. That's the idea. We need to make sure that when we address sin among people, that we do it in a way that is not condemning of others. You understand how that goes? We've got to do it to where we don't condemn. I've always told you before, and I'll tell you 1,000 times here on out, that if you point your finger at somebody, condemning them of what they're doing, there's always 3 fingers pointing right back at you. Don't ever think that there's not, because there is. Because in Matthew chapter 7, it tells us, with what measure you measure, it will be measured back to you. So if you measure condemnation upon a person, that same condemnation will be measured back to you. Does that make sense to everybody? Realize when you're condemning others, you're condemning yourself, because you have sinned also. There's not one person in this room that's over the age of 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 who has not sinned. Not one person. Not one person. I remember when I was 10 years old, people would ask, well, did you break the lamp? No, I didn't break the lamp. The dog broke the lamp. The dog broke the lamp. Yes. Did the dog throw the ball that hit the lamp that broke the lamp? Yes. Okay, now, folks, that is bearing false witness. That is telling something that's not true. And folks, if we do that, then guess what? We sin. And even though your sin may not be the same as someone else's sin, just because they've done something different than you, that doesn't make you better than them. We have a tendency a lot of times to justify our sins. Have you ever done that? You don't have to answer, because I already know the answer. Yes, you have. Okay? I'm sure you have. You've justified things that you've done wrong. And say, well, so-and-so did it. Or so-and-so did that. It was always real funny to me when I was a high school principal, and I'd have kids come in my office and they had done something wrong, and I'd stop them and I'd say, did you do that? And they said, well, Johnny did it first. And my response to that person is that Johnny's not in here. You are. You did it. Yeah, but Johnny talked me into it. No. No. Probably one of the dumbest things I ever did in my entire life. Now, this was dumb. Okay? Y'all don't have to laugh quite so hard. But one of the dumbest things I ever did in my entire life was that one day, one of my friends came over to my house. We were about 16 years old. And he said, "Steve, let's go." I said, "Okay, let's go." Didn't ask where, didn't ask why, didn't ask, you know. So I jump in the car and we take off. And we pull up down at the Arkansas River underneath the Midland Avenue Bridge that goes across the Arkansas River. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay, Midland Avenue. And I'm thinking, because this friend of mine and I love to fish. We loved to fish even back then. And so I'm thinking that we're going fishing, but I didn't bring any of my fishing gear. And we get out of the car, and I said, "I didn't bring any fishing gear." He said, "You don't need any fishing gear." I looked at him real funny, and I said, "Why don't I need any fishing gear?" He said, "Because we're not fishing." I said, "What are we doing?" And he said, "We're crossing over the Midland Avenue Bridge into Van Buren." And I looked at him real strange. I said, "Well, why didn't we just drive across?" And he said, "No, you don't understand. We're crossing over underneath the bridge." Now, y'all don't know this, I know, because underneath the bridge they have these 1 foot wide metal beams. And to cross over underneath the bridge, you have to literally crawl on those 1 foot wide metal beams to get to the other side. And you have to crawl for over 100 yards before you can stand up. And there's a gap between the beams that would be easily to fall. And then when you get at the top of that and you look down and you see the Arkansas River below you and you realize that you are 200 feet above the Arkansas River on a 1 foot wide metal beam. Yeah. Then all of a sudden you realize that you are really not very smart. And then you also realize that not being very smart, you're in the middle of the bridge. So you got to keep going, or you got to turn around and go back, but it's the same distance either way. That was really stupid. Well, if I'm Kathy says, "Yep." And Kathy knows the individual that I went across that bridge with, by the way. But I can tell you right now that if I'd have known what was going on, I probably wouldn't have done that. But in the same regard, afterwards, people would say, "Well, why'd you do that?" And I said, "Well, Les told me to do it." Folks, it didn't work that way. I still did it. I could have sat there in the car and said, "You know what, I'm going to stay on this side of the river. You go ahead, and when you get done, you come get me. Or give me the keys and I'll drive across to the other side and pick you up when you get over there." But I didn't do that. I went across that bridge. Now, I want you to know how stupid that was, because if I had fallen, you don't just fall into the Arkansas River 200 feet and be okay. It doesn't happen. So you realize that this was not a smart thing to do. Well, you know what? All the time, we've got people that blame other people for their actions. And they say, "You know what? Johnny did it, so therefore I could do it." And the answer to that is no. That's not how that works. And folks, I want you to know that there are things on the television right now that if certain commercials or something comes on that TV and I'm watching that TV, I will change that channel immediately. And the reason why is because they're promoting things that are not what God would have them promote. And so therefore, no. I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm going to turn that off. And remember what Job did. Job shunned evil. In other words, he wouldn't be a part of it. He wouldn't be around it. He pushed it aside to where he himself would not be taking part in this. He shunned it. Pushed it away. And folks, I want you to know that that's exactly how we should be. Job was held up high in God's eyes. And folks, I would love to be held up as high as Job was. Even though he suffered many things because of his faith, realize something. That was a man of faith. That was a man who stood for God. And I hope and pray that I could be counted as one of those people who stand for God. That's what we need to do. Now, I want you to realize what I'm going to talk about today is that of sexual sin. It's what I'm going to talk about. Sexual sin. And in that, I want to look at the city of Corinth. Because a lot of us look at that church in Corinth as being the bad church. I've even heard Church of Christ preachers say that. Oh, that's the bad church. No. I'm going to tell you, no, that's not a bad church. What that church was doing was trying to figure out its way. Because realize what they were surrounded by. Corinth was a port city. It actually had a port on both sides of the city. And so people would come in from all over the world and they would transport their goods across the city, and it was a very wealthy city. And all kinds of influences from all over the world were coming into that city, including sexual immorality, including idolatry. All these things that you can imagine were going into that city. And with that in mind of these things going into that city, realize exactly what was taking place. The people that were there had learned a new way. And that way was Jesus Christ. So my question is, alright, how do we deal with this subject? How do we deal with this? Because these things are happening right in front of our eyes. How do we address it? Folks, if there was a Las Vegas at that time, that would have been the city of Las Vegas. But I want you to know that today, in today's world, we are constantly seen and being pushed towards sexual immorality. Of all kinds. Y'all remember the I Love Lucy show? If you remember the I Love Lucy show, you are old, okay? Just realize that, because I remember that show, okay? Do you realize in the I Love Lucy show that Ricky and Lucy could not lay down in the same bed together? Y'all realize that? They had two twin beds. Did y'all know that? That was by rule. They couldn't do that. Well, that's changed. And I've watched shows not too long ago. I watched a show that this couple, this boyfriend and girlfriend, they decided that they wanted to live together, and the studio audience just cheered. Yay, they're living together. No, that's not how it's supposed to work. It doesn't work that way. We don't do that. Folks, there's a right way and a wrong way. There's God's way. And then there's Satan's way. Everything can be perverted if we allow it to happen. Okay? So let's look at the city of Corinth. Prostitution was widely accepted and practiced. One of the things in the city of Corinth was that there was a temple called the Thousand Hierodele. It stood up over a mountain that overlooked the city. It was a pagan temple, and the way that they progressed is to have more prostitution. That's how they got more. That's how they got better, quote unquote. That's how they became goddesses. So the more men that they had prostitution with, the more goddesses that they would meet. This was very common in the city. It overlooked the city, and you could not go into the city without seeing this temple. Secondly, homosexuality was mocked, but it was tolerated and accepted. Homosexuality is not new, folks. It goes way back. Way back. Notice this also. Divorce was widely accepted and practiced. Here's something I bet you didn't know. Abortion was widely accepted and practiced. Most people think that's a 20th century thing. No. No. You can go all the way back to ancient Egypt and see examples of it. Notice this one. Sexual abuse towards children was common. Now, we, as people, like to rank those things. And we can say, well, this one's worse than this one, or this one's worse than this one, or this one's worse than this one. And the answer is no. They are all bad, and therefore they should all be stood against. Now, Paul strictly addresses this problem. And he doesn't just pull it out of the air. Because this is a problem that they were having at that time. So, in his address to that problem, in verses 9 and 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says this, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Now, watch what he lists off here. "Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor those habitually drunk, nor verbally abusive, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Why does he list all those things off? Because all those things were happening within the city of Corinth. He addresses their needs. He addresses what is taking place. He addresses the situation. And so he says quite plainly here, that all these people, if that's the type of person you are, you're not going to make it into heaven. Now, I want you to realize that sexual immorality is a very powerful temptation. Very powerful. One of the reasons why it is so powerful is because God actually blessed us with sexuality. That is a blessing from God. And there is no better blessing for a husband and wife than to be able to share themselves with one another. That is a great blessing. That is a gift from God. Realize that's exactly what it is. But also realize that that gift from God can be perverted. Because we are given the way in which we should do it. God wanted the world populated. And he says, be fruitful and multiply. But on the same regard, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 through 4, it says this. Now concerning the things about which you wrote, he's talking very specifically about sexual immorality here. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. But because of sexual immoralities, each man is to have his own wife and each woman to have her own husband. Now this is very plain. This is God's way. That every man should have their own wife, every woman should have her own husband. This is God's way of doing it. And notice what it goes on to say in verse 3 and 4, it says the husband must fulfill his duty to his wife and likewise the wife to also to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband also does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Realize that a husband and wife relationship is a holy relationship. It is one ordained by God. It is one in which is a gift from God to us. And if we use it in that manner, realize also that we are being blessed by God. But now here's the other way. The wrong way is adultery. You know what adultery is? Sexual relations outside of wedlock with someone who is married. Fornication. Sexual relations outside of wedlock. Homosexuality. Sexual relations between a man and a woman, a man and a man, or a woman and a woman. Get that one right. Here's one that we don't think of very often. How about lust? How about lust? See, we kind of push that one aside and say, oh, yeah, that one's okay. No, it's not. Because what does Jesus say about that? If you look at a woman to lust after her, then you have already done what? Committed adultery in your heart. You've already done it. So realize, lust is a sexual immoral thing. And there have been times, and I'm just going to tell you this real quick story, there have been times when literally, I've had to turn away and look a different direction because of what was being presented before me. Realize that happens. The key to everything dealing with sexual immorality is this. Any form of sexual immorality is sexual immorality outside of marriage. Any form of sex. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Anything outside of sex, outside of marriage between a husband and a wife is sexual immorality. Does that make sense to everybody? Sums it up pretty easy. Realize that. And I can venture to say that you may not have done adultery. You may not have done fornication. You may not have done homosexuality. But I'd probably venture to say that that lust part right there, there's very few, if any, who haven't experienced that. It's where your heart is that counts. That's where your heart is. Okay? Now, realize this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul is very specific about one major point. And that major point is that no matter what you've done in your past, no matter what sin you have committed, no matter what it is in your past that you have done that you say, oh no, God will never forgive me of that, Paul states you can be forgiven. Such, he says, were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. What does he tell us? Because you have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, your sins have been forgiven. There is no sin on this earth that cannot be forgiven. And this is the main point that I want to bring up to all of us here. That no matter what you've done in your past, no matter how many times you've pointed your finger at this person over there and said, boy, that person really sins it up. That person's the worst person I've ever seen in my life. Folks, that's not how that works, because that person that's the worst person that you've ever seen in your life can be forgiven of whatever they've done. And so it comes back down to how we as Christians address sin. We are to address it. Address it. You hear about these Nielsen ratings all the time? If you're watching a show that promotes sin, change the channel. Because sooner or later, people will stop watching it, and guess what's going to happen? They're going to take it off the air. We can do that. I'll never forget when my son was growing up. They're on Cartoon Network. We watched a lot of Cartoon Network. Yeah. I know it wasn't Bugs Bunny. Therefore, it wasn't funny. Okay? But we watched a lot of Cartoon Network, and we watched that Cartoon Network and stuff like that. And then, later in the evening, they came on and they started a series called Adult Swim. Y'all remember that? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. That was a problem. And what happened was, McDonald's, who was sponsoring Adult Swim, all of a sudden started losing people going to McDonald's because they sponsored something that was not supposed to be for their children. And McDonald's quit sponsoring that. Now, there's still Adult Swim out there. But certain sponsors stopped sponsoring it. You can do that. Change the channel. Because, folks, we don't need to be associated with those things. And we need to stand up against those things. And then it comes down to this. No matter what someone else has done, no matter what you have done, you can be forgiven. No matter. And folks, instead of us going and pointing our finger at somebody, what we need to do in our lifetime is love that person so much that you bring that person back to God. Do you realize that's what we need to do? It's not because I condemn you because you sin. It's because I love you that I'm telling you you need to repent. What did Peter and the rest of the apostles tell those who stood before Pilate and told Pilate, crucify him, crucify him. Let his blood be upon us and upon our children. Remember what they said when they found out that it was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that they crucified? Remember what happened? They asked Peter and they asked the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And what was the first words out of his mouth? He said, repent, every one of you. Turn away from those things. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Don't ever think that you are too far gone that you can't do it. Don't ever think that someone out there in the world is too far gone and they can't make it. Show them how much you love them by showing them how much God loves you. I hope that makes sense to everybody. Because my job is not to condemn. And the reason why my job is not to condemn is because Jesus Christ Himself, His job, He said, was not to condemn, but to seek and save that which is lost. Guess what we are to do? We are to seek and save that which is lost. There's a lot of people out there that need to hear the Word of God. How are they going to hear it unless someone in here tells them? It's our responsibility. It's our job. Tell them about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And then all of a sudden, people will respond and the kingdom will be added to. Now I want to finish with these words in Titus chapter 2, verse 12. New King James Version says this, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly. We should live righteously. We should live godly in this present age. I told you all the things that were happening in the city of Corinth. During New Testament times, during the times of the apostles, it was not uncommon. Well, guess what? Those same things happen today. And therefore, since those same things happen today, then we are called to live righteously. We are called to live godly. And most of all, and I want to bring this up as a most of all, we are to love others as God has loved you by teaching them the right way. Teaching them the plan of salvation. Bringing them to God. And by doing so, what you are doing is you are saving a soul for an eternity. Don't go out in the world to condemn it. Go out into the world to save it. Don't go out in the world to push people away, but rather go out into the world to bring them to Christ. The way we handle sin is the way that we can bring people to Christ. But folks, I want you to be aware. I want you to understand. There's lots of sins in this world. And I can point at a lot of different people. I can point at a lot of different things. But here's what we need to do. Instead of pointing at them, why not put your arm around them? Why not bring them closer? Why not bring them to God? By doing so, you are showing the greatest love that you could show to anybody by teaching them about the saving grace which comes through Jesus Christ. It is my intent for this lesson this morning not to condemn, but to reach out to others who are lost. Seek to save that which is lost. Seek to bring others to Christ. And let's do the will of God, which His will is that none should perish, but all people everywhere should come to repentance. If you have a need this morning, a need for our prayers, or a need to be baptized, we ask you to come while together we stand and sing.